I think the first thing that comes to mind, Jerry, is when you think about the moment we're in politically, you know, I don't know that there's ever been a time when the voters in general just love politicians and thought very well of them. But we seem to be particularly in, you might say, a populist moment, not just in the United States, by the way, but even around the world. So I think it's a broader trend. But a lot of people being very skeptical of whether elected officials or even for that matter appointed officials, however they come about, whether they are serving the interests of the people or whether they're serving their own interests. And, you know, there's a lot of effort right now, for that matter, to combat some of that and try to encourage people to have some faith in their government, or at least to stay within sort of the normal parameters of who we might elect to office. Again, at a time globally, for instance, where a comedian was just elected the president of Ukraine, right? So this is a pretty relevant concern right now in the United States and elsewhere. And at this local level, so we're not talking about that national or international level, but even locally, you know, one thing that comes to mind is that this could just further encourage people to be very skeptical of politicians, any elected officials, and to suspect that, you know, however that they might appear during a campaign or however they might appear, you know, in public while serving, that, you know, behind the scenes, they're just serving themselves and not serving the people. So I don't know exactly what effect that will have on voters locally or how long that kind of thing might take to process, but it feeds into the concerns that people already have. It can only contribute to that kind of feeling that's popular in the public right now.
Do you think it's a little bit riskier for incumbents in any given election?
Sure. You know, when there's some sense that there's been a culture of corruption, as we have often heard the term, you know, even at the national level, people might even apply it locally here, again, whether deserved or not to all people. But there might be an assumption that, you know, anybody who's been involved in this thing, you know, must have known what was going on or could have stopped things or monitored it better. For a voter, you know, it's one thing to even keep track of really all the news these days, including at a local level. But in terms of sorting out who deserves the blame for this particular scandal, there are some cases where certain elected officials, you know, deserve to be punished for it, really. And there are other cases where they may not. But it's going to be hard for voters to sort out all the details of the scandal and, for that matter, you know, what we know and what we don't know, what might learn in the future. You know, I imagine some voters are just going to kind of throw up their hands and say, let's just, you know, have a clean slate here, whether that means, you know, kind of voting out everyone who's been in power recently. Some people might go in that direction. Some people might be more selective, let's say, in assigning blame, especially people who've been paying closer attention to this, you know, complex story. But that, I think, those are the dynamics we can expect. You know, they're certainly, this will not bode well for incumbents generally.
City officials right now are worried about how this might overshadow the 1,900 plus public workers who are, I'm summarizing here in their words, that are doing good work mm-hmm. every day. So with ongoing investigations, though, this does make it tougher for voters, as we're going to move past a primary next week, and then regard to city commission, for candidates are moving on to the general election for two seats on the city commission. This makes it tough for voters when you've got a federal investigation overshadowing the whole process and not only the scandal, but also the good things that are taking place in Dayton.
Right. Yeah, that's such a great point. You know, prior to this scandal, you know, breaking, it seemed like actually there were a lot of, you know, positive things. You know, there's always a mix of these things, but there seemed like there was some positive movement in the city on a variety of things, the arcade and, you know, other things going on. And so it's interesting to think about how, you know, you can't really tell, but how has this scandal changed in a very quick way, to the extent that people are paying attention to it, the way that they're thinking about where the city is going. You know, there might be some people who really felt pretty positively about where it was going and now are at least stepping back and reevaluating, or maybe are just disgusted and thinking, after all, things are not going well. So, you know, there's a complex story going on in Dayton. Sometimes it's oversimplified, as we, you know, saw in some of the, you know, the documentary last fall and so on, where it's easy to take too negative of a view. And this is one very serious event, but it has to be weighed against some other positive events. And so as people are thinking about voting for an incumbent, do we continue the direction we're going on, or do we make changes? Do we bring in newcomers? It partly depends on how they're weighing the importance of this scandal versus other things that might be perhaps reasons to continue in the direction other things have been going in.
So you referenced the Frontline documentary, which basically showed just empty streets in Dayton yeah. and basically nobody living in the city core, based on the shots, the overhead shots of yep. the city that they had. So it's interesting, with, as you said, a lot of positives going on in the city, how this affects everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're living in Dayton, you've been here a while, or you're committed to being here, you want to believe in the city, right? We want to be working together towards something positive, rather than, you know, feeling like we're going downhill with things. And, you know, a lot of people are making very significant contributions to that. And, you know, it's too bad when something like this comes up and it can derail some of that positive movement. But then again, we also have to be realistic about what's going on. And hey, if there are practices, if there's a culture that's actually going to inhibit that growth going forward, then there's a lot to be said for the fact that we're dealing with it, you know, no matter whether that was, you know, it wasn't exactly a choice by City of Dayton to do that. You know, that was certainly something that was, you know, pressed for from outside. But look, if it's going on, for us to really investigate that and have the truth about what's been taking place and what might still take place, that's really a conversation that the city needs to have if we really are going to move forward.
Christopher Devine is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Dayton. Christopher, thanks for the insights today.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to talk with you.